Now, it's a real privilege to be here tonight, and we were just home a little while, and it turned out that there was an open door that occurred quicker than I thought on the Navajo Reservation in the northeast corner of Arizona. One of the brethren's a school teacher, and his wife is a Navajo who has her mother's home. And so he said, spring break, and so we traveled 3 days from home to the land of Chinle. And the meetings were held in the desert about 30 miles south. If you see two sires on the side of the road at the milepost 435, you turn east and wiggle down through the roads, and you'll find the little house there. Didn't have any interior water. It had what was called the old-fashioned outhouse. It had a coal stove, and some of the homes didn't even have water in them, you might say. But the Lord was kind, and over the few nights of meetings, much to my surprise, there was either 16 or 18 different souls that came. Some came from as far as 40 miles away, and so I appreciated the privilege to come. Manny from the Orangewood Assembly came to help me, and I told Manny, and don't take this comment wrong, I says, Manny, you were at a real advantage compared to me, and I'll tell you why it was. Knocking on the doors in the town, the man said, come on in. So I came in. I says, you know, there is a tremendous amount of dogs in this country. He says, well, let me tell you, sir. I want you to know they only eat the white meat. They don't like dark meat. I says, well, thanks a lot. Because I was about the only whitey in the whole village, it seemed. And he was telling me dogs will eat you. So anyway, hitherto at the Lord helped us. I want to take up tonight a subject that I wrestled with for a couple of years. And I might be a slow learner, and that's all right as long as we learn, I guess. But is there really a difference between the church, which is his body, and the local assembly? And I want to suggest the understanding of it, and I may not have the ability, but trust that God will give help. And if you've got a paper and a pencil, feel welcome to write down the notes, but I guess you got electronic stuff nowadays. If you understand that, it will help you to understand reception. It'll help you to understand that not everybody that's saved and in the church which is his body is in a local assembly to be able to come and enjoy the privileges and the responsibilities. So I've got quite a few verses. Book of Ephesians, please, chapter 1. And you'll find in the book of Ephesians, it's dealing with the church, which is his body. Chapter 1, verse 22. And while you're turning to it, I want to remind you, the moment you are saved, you are instantaneously brought into the church, which is his body. And you will find, as we weave through the word of God, and probably you've got a grasp of it already, there's a difference between being in the church, which is his body, and being in the local church or the local assembly. So I wrestled with this because of my background, and all of us have different experiences in life. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22. And hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. Verse 23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Chapter 2, verse 16. And verse 16, chapter 2 of Ephesians, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain, destroyed the enmity thereby. I'll bring you the verse 14. Maybe I should have read it first. For he is our peace, the Lord Jesus Christ, hath made both one, Jew and Gentile, broken down the middle wall of partition. He's brought us all into one body. Chapter 3, verse 6, please. And it's sure nice to see so many out tonight and to have such great singers in the audience. Verse 6, chapter 3. that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Chapter 4, verse 11 for context, and verse 12. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now I'm going to just stop there for a moment. The context always reveals the teaching more than a word study on a word. And when gifts were given, they were given at conversion. And they're to be developed as time moves on. Some here, I'm sure, are naturally talented. I know they are in building, in carpentry, and others in other aspects. That talent you probably had all your life, and you've developed those skills. When you got saved, God gave every one of us a spiritual gift, whether it be the gift of helps. Some he's given the gift of evangelists that preach the gospel of the grace of God. Others the gift of the pastor teacher. Now notice here the context. The pastor teacher is never over one church. Christendom says they're over one church. The context here, it was given for the edifying, the building, the strengthening, the binding of the church, which is his body. So it's all right to say that Mr. Baker, in the land of Australia tonight, amazed me. I sent him a text message, and in minutes, I got it back. I says to Linda, this is absolutely astounding that he is down under, and I am up here, and quicker than I can dial the numbers on a phone, he is telling me something. It's I don't know how it works, but it works. But it's no question about it that Mr. Baker has the gift of evangelist and teaching in my mind. Came from God. Some have just the gift of an evangelist. They're out full time. Doesn't mean you have to be out full time. But notice the context here. It's to build up the body of Christ. So generally speaking, those that have these gifts, there's no more apostles, there's no more prophets, travel amongst local assemblies to teach, help, strengthen, and edify the body of Christ. Nowhere do you find one man over one place. We find in the Word of God. Verse 16. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted, that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working of the measure of every part, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What God is saying, the body grows together, it's knit together, each part and each function, it's for its growth and development. He's picturing this here in the church, which is his body. When you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he's mentioning the local assembly. Did you know, beloved one, you are essential in the assembly here? It doesn't matter if you're the youngest one or the oldest one. It doesn't matter whether they open your mouth or not. You are exceedingly essential in the local assembly. I won't have time to develop it tonight, maybe some other time if God allows, but 1 Corinthians chapter 12, God says we're like a body. And so, well, I'll embarrass myself. I helped my son load a toolbox before I came, and you wouldn't believe it, I half dislocated my elbow. The problem is, the mind says you could do it, but the body shouldn't do it at my vintage. So when you injure one part of your body, the rest of it's not feeling too good. Hurt your eye? Well, it's only your eye. hit your hand with the hammer or whatever. It's only the hand. What I'm trying to say is our bodies are made so that all of them are completely intertwined together. Get a pain in your stomach, the rest of you is not feeling too good. Now, I want to say it respectfully and reverently. If the eye has got a problem, the rest of the body's got a problem. If the eye is not there, the rest of the body's got a problem. And the Spirit of God says some of us are the eye. Some of us are the hands. Some of us are the feet. Some of us are the hidden parts of the organs of the body in picture form. So that God is using this as a picture in the local assembly. You are essential. Sister told me one time, she says, you know, I don't open my mouth. I'm not needed. I said, you are desperately needed. And do you realize, I said, the cheer you give the saints when they see you in your own special way? Well, she says, I never thought about it that way. So I want to leave with you. We're looking at the church, which is his body. We'll weave to the local assembly. Ephesians 2 and 14, he's made us all one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 13, I'll give you the glimpse for sake of time. In one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. The great division of Jew and Gentile has all been eliminated. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 16, please. Matthew chapter 16, on the 18th verse, this is the church which is his body, or some call it the church in totality. Matthew 16, verse 18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. Now, Peter there means little rock. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. This is the church which is his body. And he is reminding that there is a chief cornerstone, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Thumb over to chapter 18. I know you've heard it before. I know many of you, all of you know it. Matthew chapter 18, verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. I won't have time to develop the context, but it starts at verse 15. And there's a brother that's got a fault, a sin. And it's how to reconcile and make the matter right. But if he won't hear and won't repent, whatever the case is, he says, tell it before the whole church. It's not the church which is his body, it's the local assembly. And solemnly, it's a scripture for a brother or a sister with certain sins to be put out of the fellowship for their restoration and the purity of the assembly. But notice verse 20. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. The context shows you it's not two or three believers together. It's more than that. The context shows there's a brother with a problem. They're to go to him with two or three witnesses. And if they won't hear, tell it to the whole church, the local assembly. Notice chapter verse 20, where two or three are there having been gathered together. Notice the two ends here. Some of you might have eSword on a computer. Believe it or not, this old fellow does. And if you were to click on the in on it, you'd find there's two different words in the Greek tongue. The first in is a point of time reached. The second in is a constant habitual abiding. Now, I couldn't tell you historically when the assembly began here. But where two or three have there gathered together in my name, that's the first in, the point of time reached when the assembly began. He says, there am I in the midst of them. The second in is a fixed place of rest. I know you've got a grasp of it, but get a double grasp of it. He's in our midst tonight. You can't see him, can't touch him, can't feel him. But the Lord is with us tonight. And the scripture declares it. So it incurs reverence. It also causes that I want to be where my Savior is. Granny was an older saint. And the young one said, Granny, you don't have aches and pains. We don't have any aches or pains or ailments like you do. But you're always at all the assembly meetings. Why is that? Well, she says, that's very simple. My feet go where my heart is. They follow. Well, I want to be where the Lord is. Because he loved me. And he gave himself for me. I don't know why, but he did. That I might have eternal and everlasting life. And so, Matthew 16, the church in totality. Matthew 18, the revelation of is the two or threes, it's the locality, the local assembly. It's not two or three are up in the mountains and two or three are at the beach. It's the place where God has placed his name. In Matthew 16, he says, I will build without spot and without blemish. The purpose is to bring worship to God. The stability of the church, which is his body, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it. Get a grip of that. You can't lose your salvation. Salvation is not in the nervous system of the believer. What do you mean? Well, I feel saved, and then yesterday, today, I did something really stupid, and I sinned, and I said something I shouldn't have, and I wonder if I'm still saved. It's not in the nervous system of the believer. It's by faith in what God tells us in the Word of God, I know that I have eternal life. The church was formed in Acts chapter 2, after at Pentecost, after Christ's ascension. The Holy Spirit is the comforter. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 25. Let me just see if I can get my eyes working right here. Let me bring you to verse 16 first, my apologies. Else, when thou shalt bless with the Spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room or the place of the unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? Verse 25, thus are the secrets of his heart, of his mind made manifest. Falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of a truth. I call that an illumination or a revelation from the God of heaven, showing us unto him shall the gathering of the people be. We don't go to church. We're part of the church. And in this local church, God gives us the privilege to gather outside the camp unto the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. The first mention is in the book of Genesis. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. You weave into the book of Deuteronomy chapter 12, Deuteronomy chapter 14, Deuteronomy chapter 16, and you'll find there's a place of his name. Now, I know we're in the Old Testament. I know the New Testament local church is not there. Come into Psalms 5. Maybe sometime we'll develop it more in detail. And Psalms 5, you'll find there is no two-name system. We gather alone to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nehemiah chapter 1 gives us a glimpse of the place of the name. Old Testament, they gathered to a place where God placed his name. New Testament, local assembly, local teaching. We don't gather to a place. We gather to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, where he placed his name. Matthew 18 and 20, where the two or threes are there, having been gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, unto him shall the gathering of the people be. You don't gather to me. You don't gather to Mr. Baker. You gather to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one, he's the magnet that draws us. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that we're baptized in his name. And he's the one that we gather in his name. And so he reminds us in the local assembly, we gather unto the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me take you to chapter 11, because there's a little verse in here that sometimes causes technical difficulties, if that's the right way to say it, in people's minds. In fact, it came up on this trip by one or two. Verse 28, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And do remember, 1 Corinthians has more local church teaching than any other one epistle. Chapter 1, verse 2 says, as in every place or all the churches. So now we have the setting or the scene of the epistle of 1 Corinthians. It's for every local church, not just the church at Corinth. Because you will meet some and they'll say, well, you know, the head covering's not necessary. This is not necessary. It was only to Corinth. The Spirit of God's eliminated any technical difficulties on that when you come to the second verse, every local church. So when we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 28, we're dealing in the subject here of the breaking of the bread, drinking of the cup, the remembrance of him. He says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So somebody comes to the door, Lord's Day morning. Oh, I didn't know the door was unlocked. My name is Harry. I've been reading in my Bible that you should break bread the first day of the week. And you know, I'm even a baptized person and I want to break bread with you here. Well, you're not in the fellowship. Well, you know, I've been reading 1 Corinthians 11. Let a man examine himself. And so I should be able to. What do you do with it? It happens all the time. Not all the time, but it happens. Let's see the context. Who is the one to examine himself here? It's the one that's already in assembly fellowship. It's not the man on the outside. We're not received to the breaking of bread. We're received to the assembly. So if I'm not known and I come on a Wednesday night or a Tuesday night, I give them a letter to enjoy the privileges and be able to open my mouth in the Bible reading and pray, or however you want to develop it. I'm being received to that assembly. So get a grasp of it, beloved. I'm sure you've got it already, but it's good to be reminded of it. The context is those already in assembly fellowship. I'm to examine myself. No unconfessed sin. Let's just say hypothetically, Glenn and I had a dispute, and I was the one that started it. Now, we hope this never happens, you know, but I got to make it right before I sit down Lord's Day morning. That's what I'm examining. Glenn, yeah, got to talk to you. Okay. You know, I spoke wrong to you. Will you forgive me? Sure. That's examining yourself. That's the context. And notice here as you read this, he says in chapter 11, verse 1, be followers of me. But then notice, get the setting. He says, ye come together, verse 17. Verse 18, ye come together in the local church, no divisions. Verse 20, ye come together. Verse 26, ye do show, publicly declare the Lord's death till he comes. So he says, you need to examine yourself. When I was first received in the assembly back east, the brethren told me I'd be received in a week's time if no, you know, technical difficulties or something. They said, we would like you to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 every day. Left a real impression in me. High school. This is not a casual thing. This is serious. I'm accountable to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3, we find a letter of commendation. You're going to go up to Arlington, Washington. Nobody knows you. The Spirit of God teaches us to bring a letter of commendation. What would be in that letter? Well, you're in fellowship in the assembly of Norco. And maybe you've been a help to the saints. Maybe you've been a Sunday school teacher. Maybe God has gifted you in the gospel. It's a letter to praise you for what God has done in your life in the blessing in the assembly you're at. Romans 16, 1 and 2, a letter was given to Phoebe, and it said, a servant of the church of Centuria. And so when it comes to movements between local assemblies and we're not known, it's scriptural to bring a letter of commendation, a letter of introduction to that assembly when we come and go. You find in Acts 18, verse 27, there was a letter from Aquila from Paul to receive them. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 12 says, know them that labor among you. Headship of the Lord is revealed. We look for the control of the Holy Spirit and the teaching with the context of the Word of God. Now I'm going to give you some similarities which sometimes confuse people. Can I go a couple minutes over, or is that rude? I usually try to stop right on the dot. Otherwise, this will be continued, Lord willing. I want to give you a couple similarities that sometimes throw people. First, Ephesians 1, verse 22, for a starter, you have 9 references of the church. It's the church which is his body. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2. Notice here, it doesn't say unto the church which is his body. But in 1 Corinthians 1 and 2, it says unto the church of God. 5 references in the book of Corinth. Corinthians, church of God, local assembly. Some get confused, church which is his body, church of God, they're the same. No, they're not the same. You were brought into the church which is his body the moment you were saved. We're brought into by reception into the church of God or the local assembly. We mentioned already chapter 4 of Ephesians mentions a body, the church which is his body. I quoted to you, or picture form, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the local assembly is viewed as a body. Some are the hands, some are the eyes, some are the heart, all functioning harmoniously for the blessing, for the building, for the edifying, for the strengthening of the local assembly, for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why every one of us in fellowship is needed. And if one is gone for a while, you know there's a little deficiency. We miss it. And if one is sick for a while, we miss it. Oh, there's enough to carry on, but it's just not the same. And so as much as possible, realize you've got a special little niche that God has given you in the place of his name to build, to bind, to bless himself and one another. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22, he mentions a temple. The church which is his body, a temple. But 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Local assembly, temple of God, his dwelling place. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. So we wouldn't want to defile it. We wouldn't want to do anything or be under the control of anything other than the Holy Spirit. People might say, well, what's wrong with smoking and what's wrong with drugs and this and that? We don't want to be under the control of anything other than the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2 and 22 mentions that The church, which is his body, is a habitation, a house. 1 Timothy 3 and 15, I'll turn to it, reminds us that the local assembly, 1 Timothy 3 and 15, I'm in 2 Timothy, it's not working, hold on. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 15. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God. That's local assembly. Which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. You say, what's the significance? Local assembly is God's. Now let's just say I went to Mr. Baker's house and he's gone for the day. And I says, Linda, you know, I got a brainstorm. Let's put the sofa outside. And I don't know if you have a dog or not, but let's bring the big dog in the house. You know, it looks like rain, and why, the dog tears the curtains and it rips it up and the rain comes and the sofa's wet. And Mr. Baker Glenn comes home. He says, John, what did you do? Well, you know, I just thought it would be better to sit on the sofa out in the sunshine, but it happened to rain. And I felt so sorry for the dog being alone. He says, you don't understand. This is my house. You're a guest here. You can use it, but you can't arrange it. And the local assembly, it's God's. So what I do has to fit the book, because it's his place. Well, you know, I can't sing too good. I can't. That's the truth. Linda looked at me like, what's going on tonight? And I hope nobody else heard me. So maybe we need some brass pipes and, you know, a big drum. Well, if God wanted that, he'd give us instruction. The silence of the scripture are important. So what I'm trying to say is this local assembly, this house of God, the pillar and the ground of the truth, we have the privilege to carry on the precepts to show love to him. But we don't have the right to interject other things that aren't in the book. It's his house. John chapter 10, a flock, verse 16. But when you come to Acts 20 and verse 28, it's little flock, local assembly. And in this local assembly, you're precious, you're needed. Now I want to give you some, not similarities, yet they're differences, but I want to show you at least about 11, there's about 25 differences at least, I won't touch on them tonight, between the church, which is his body, and the local assembly. Matthew 16, I will build. 1 Corinthians 3, Paul says, as a master builder, verse 10, God uses men to plant assemblies. That doesn't just mean, well, we're going to go there and we're going to plant an assembly. No, but God can use evangelists to bring the gospel. And God can work to save souls. And so he uses men by the work of the Holy Spirit to be used to plant local assemblies. Ephesians chapter 4, the church which is his body is in perfect unity. Everybody that saves is going to be in heaven. Doesn't matter what name you call them. Doesn't matter all what they think. Everybody born again, saved by his matchless grace, is going to be in heaven. Perfect unity. But in the local assembly, there could be division. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10 said that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 gives a glimpse of it. Ought not to be. Acts chapter 2, you were brought into the church which is his body, the day, the moment, the hour you were saved. I didn't know it, but that's what it is. There's a time when you are added, received in the local assembly. Now let me bring you to Acts chapter 9, just so there isn't a cloud on it, and I'll try to move along quick so you're not keeping you too late, or you'll never want to see me again. Acts chapter 9, verse 27. And you have Paul, you have Barnabas, you have the growth of a disciple. Verse 26, and when Paul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed, he wanted, he attempted to join himself to the disciples, to the assembly. They were all afraid of him. Didn't even believe he was a Christian. And Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared how he had seen the Lord in the way that he had spoken to him, how he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus, and he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. This is not teaching that I come along and say, I know so-and-so, so receive him. Barnabas was used to help introduce Paul, but the essayed was he attempted to join. Until they were satisfied he was genuine and ready for the assembly, he was outside. It's not that, you know, I got my good friend, this came up on this trip, and they're not an assembly, but, you know, I'll vouch for him. And so, no, that's not the teaching here. We're not received to the breaking of bread, we're received to assembly fellowship. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the church which is his body scripturally, spiritually, is positional. But the local assembly is in one place. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 gives you a glimpse of the place where he's placed his name. The local assembly in Norco is not in the next town or the next town, though you might individually live there. But it's here where God has placed his name. Matthew 16, no error can ever affect the church which is his body. The local assembly can be corrupted. Bad teaching, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 1, the church which is his body is made up only of those that are saved. You could have somebody in the local assembly that thought they were saved and wasn't. Or you could have grievous wolves enter in. Acts 20, verse 29. These are differences. Romans chapter 8, John chapter 10, there's no separation. No matter what you do, you can never be put out of the church, which is his body, or lose your salvation. But when it comes to the local assembly, there are certain sins that would cause that I would have to be put out for restoration. Galatians chapter 3, there's no distinction between male or female in the church, which is his body. We're all one. Come to the local assembly, the distinction of the sexes. The women are to keep silent, have a head covering. The men aren't to have a head covering. You find the ramifications of it. You find it for the speaking. Church, which is his body, is really invisible. I don't know where they all are. The local assembly, 1 Corinthians 11, is visible. As we come and we sit around himself and remember him in the breaking of the bread and the drinking of the cup. The church which is his body is a bride without spot, and it will be forever. Local assemblies are either to be till he comes, or they could be removed in God's judgmental hand or come to a close. Why? Maybe lack of exercise, maybe division, I'm not to say. So we gave you 11 differences. There's no scripture to support the denominational systems. I don't want to be offensive. No scripture for a paid pastor or anything like that. 90 times you'll find the local church is mentioned. It's a privilege and a responsibility to be gathered to his name. 1 Corinthians is parallel to the book of Exodus. We're a redeemed people, and God is in our midst. It's a place where we're in fellowship with his Son. It's a place of divine rule. 68 or 69 times, Lord, occurs in Corinthians. You'll have to do the arithmetic. It's a place of holiness. Ye are a temple of God. Place of divine order. How to meet, how to gather. It's a place of mutual care. If one member suffers, we all suffer. It's a place for development of gifts. It's a place where we get instruction. 1 Corinthians 14. It's a place of testimony. 1 Corinthians 11, ye do show, ye do publicly declare the Lord's death till he come. mark of the local assembly, and we'll close with that. The center is the Son of God. The controller is the Holy Spirit. The creed is the Word of God. And the company is some of the saints of God. That we might appreciate the privilege of being in the local assembly, gathered unto the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. My apologies for going over like that. Let's pray. Father, we thank thee for the privilege to sing the songs of Zion, to hear the boys and girls answer the Bible questions, how thrilling. And we pray that thou would take what was of thyself and cause us to have a mutual understanding of the difference between the church, which is his body, and the local assembly. We ask thy care as we part. Remember each one, each family, those that are away, thy blessing upon them. Guide on the Lord's day, we ask, in the Lord Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen.